Having just returned from my annual priest retreat, I had the opportunity this week to do what so many of you are going to do this summer, and that is travel. My travel was out to Ohio via the Pennsylvania Turnpike. And along the way, I was taken by the reality of those rest stops, which are rather unique places on the face of the earth. They're often found in rather deserted places, especially in Western PA. They are specifically made, of course, for travelers, all headed in the same direction, but going in all sorts of different places. Their main value, of course, is the bathrooms. But there's a stretch break, there's a bite to eat, a stop along the way. According to all the studies, a typical rest stop visit is just over 10 minutes. It's not a bad image as we celebrate this beautiful feast in the life of the church, this feast of the Eucharist, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, which in many ways throughout history has been described as food for the journey. The apostles in this scene, and today we're in Luke chapter 9, they just returned from a mission. Jesus has sent them out to do his work. They've been preaching. They've even been healing people. They've been casting out demons, doing what Jesus did. They come back to Jesus, and Jesus wants to take them away to a deserted place. He does. But the crowds follow. And it's quite a crowd. We're told that there's 5,000 men. God only knows how many women and children. The disciples notice a need in the crowd. They say to him, "Lord, it's getting late. We're in a deserted place. Dismiss this crowd so they can get something to eat, somewhere to lodge." And Jesus says something very curious. He says, "Give them something yourself." He said, "We have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And unless we go to the local town and buy food for all of these, what can we do?" And then we see what they do have. These apostles have great obedience in the word of the Lord. They have Jesus with them. And they are so obedient to him. He begins to give instructions as to how to arrange the people. He tells them to pass out the 5 loaves, the 2 fish. And as we hear, there are 12 wicker baskets left over. My friends, this feeding of the 5,000, which is found in all of the Gospels, is such a magnificent gospel because it points to the fact that Jesus not only can provide for his people, but he does. And as we gather here today, aware of all the hungers in our hearts, aware of our own needs, aware of the fact that we've all come to this place here this morning, but in reality, each of us are in our own world. You know what your family's like, and it's different than the guy behind you. There's so much uniqueness in this auditorium. And yet here we all are. And our one God can provide for every need. And he does so through this beautiful gift of the Eucharist. The Eucharist is the source and summit of the Christian life. It is God with us. It is what makes us the church. And throughout history, this gift of the Eucharist has provided for so many people. It gives direction. It brings about unity. It is the gift of Jesus himself for us. This summer, we have a few saints of summer. And one of them is Saint Teresa of the Cross, Edith Stein. She was a saint in the 20th century, arrested and murdered in Auschwitz. And she said this about the Eucharist. She said, "It is most important that the Holy Eucharist becomes life's focal point. That the Eucharistic Savior whom we worship is the center of our existence. That every day is received from his hand and laid back there. And that the day's happenings are deliberated with him." You see, so much more than a rest stop along the way, or a nice way to begin the week. What we do here today, and every day at St. Patrick's, we encounter the risen Lord, the way, the truth, and the life. And in an amazing way, he brings about in one's life the gift of unity, the gift of peace. We're blessed this summer to have Phong with us. You all know him by now. He's from Vietnam. And I was reminded by a very saintly priest from Vietnam who, like Edith Stein, lived in the 20th century. His name was Cardinal Van Thuan. And on August 15th, 1975, he was arrested by the communists. And he would spend the next 13 years of his life as a prisoner, 9 of which he spent in solitary confinement. It was there that he would write letters. And he would ask his friends in these letters for cough medicine. And that was a code word for wine. Cardinal Van Thuan, in solitary confinement, would receive these bottles of cough medicine. They had wine and a few pieces of bread. And every day, along with the 50 prisoners who were with him, he would celebrate the Eucharist with drops of wine in the palm of his hand. In 1988, he was released from captivity. He wrote a book called 5 Loaves and 2 Fish, kind of appropriate for today. Not just the Feast of Corpus Christi, but even for our own scattered times. My friends, I close the homily with his words. May they speak to your heart as they speak to mine. He said the following: "All prisoners, myself included, constantly wait to be let go. I decided then and there that my captivity would not be merely a time of resignation, but a turning point in my life. I decided that I would not just wait. I would live the present moment and fill it with love. For if I wait, the things I wait for will never happen. The only thing that I can be sure of is that I am going to die. No, I will spend time waiting. I will live the present moment and fill it with love. A straight line consists of millions of little points. Likewise, a lifetime consists of millions of seconds and minutes joined together. If every single point along the line is rightly set, the line will be straight. If every minute of a life is good, that life will be holy. Alone in my prison cell, I continued to be tormented by the fact that I was just 48 years old, in the prime of my life. And I had worked for 8 years as a bishop. I'd gained so much pastoral experience, and there I was, isolated, inactive, and far from my people. One night, from the depth of my heart, I could hear a voice advising me, "Why torment yourself? You must discern between God and the works of God. Everything you have done and desire to continue to do, pastoral visits, training seminarians, sisters and members of religious orders, building schools, evangelizing non-Christians, all of this is excellent work, the work of God. But it is not God. If God wants you to give it all up and put the work into his hands, do it and trust him. God will do the work infinitely better than you. He will entrust the work to others who are more able than you. And you have only to choose God and not the works of God." My friends, this morning in celebrating the Eucharist, with Christian faith as Catholics, we choose God. And in choosing him, his beautiful work continues in our life. Today, let us thank God for this beautiful gift of the Eucharist. God with us. And may he bring about that gift of unity, healing, and peace.